What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Helpless Podcast. I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And today we are talking all about toxic productivity. Oh my gosh, delicious. But before we get into that, Kelsey, where can people see your comedy and meet you and do all that fun stuff? Get their asses handed to them in foosball? You know the drill.
You know what makes me laugh that I'm noticing is like become your catchphrase. And I feel like maybe we should make merch for this is you, after we say the name of like what we're going to talk about today, you always say, yeah. Delicious. I swear to God, I think it's every time and I love it. And I feel like we should have like a delicious shirt or something.
Oh my gosh, delicious could be it could be merch. Oh my God. I just feel like my awkward intro has evolved over these past 5 years because I used to say stuff like, all right, we're doing it. Here we go. And now it's like, delish. Let's get into it. Let's dive in. I'm like, oh God, how can I diversify the way I say this shit? I don't know.
We're almost at 5 years of the show. There are only so many ways you can intro the show, but I love the idea of a delicious shirt. Although I feel like delicious, like going across your tits is kind of
awesome. Like, maybe we could say, delicious. Is that better? I don't know.
I love both.
I'm going to start saying stuff like, welcome to the fucking show. How about that? I mean, that could be a t-shirt across your tits too. And that means double meaning there too. TBD, guys.
That one is very specific for your tits with welcome to the show because you've shown a lot of people your tits.
Yes, and I also told you about the light show I can offer people with my tits as well.
That is right. Yes. Maybe you should give people a refresher.
You haven't shown me, heads up. You've told me. Yeah, if you have breast implants, which I do, your boobs light up in the dark. I don't know. If I'm the first person telling you this, I am very honored and also I'm sorry. But go into the bathroom, shut off all the lights, and grab the flashlight on your phone and put it to the corner of your boob and look in the mirror and you have like this glowing, like slightly red orb. And it's a pretty magical experience and a great party trick. Yeah, Kelsey, I need to send you some photos. I keep forgetting to do that, but just expect some tip pics from me. Next week with no explanation.
I don't have to be concerned about being like ambushed with nudes in my DMs. I have to worry about getting like tip pics while I'm like maybe showing a photo of my niece to my dad or something from my podcast co-host. Like, what a life.
Yes.
I never know what I'm going to get with you. Oh, I love
it. Please write in if you try this trick. I would love to know your experience and how you share it with others.
No, well, I kind of want to know what happens when you do it without breast implants. So I'm kind of
I don't think it lights up, but it has nowhere to go.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just full boob. It's just like neat. The fat blocks it. But when it's fat and silicone slash saline slash whatever the heck you have in there, it glows. It lights up. It's like a nightlight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you just give me a heads up before you say it, just in case I happen to be.
I'll give you a heads up texting you, delicious.
Yeah.
Here we go. Incoming.
Oh, the weekly segment of what's going on with Delaney's tits continues. It's endless content.
Where can people find you, Kelsey?
So this episode is coming out in the middle of May. So I am going to be at Laugh Boston May 27th and 28th. And then I'm going to London first week of June for a TV thing. Very excited. Shooting my special so soon, guys. So June 18th in Denver at Comedy Works. I will be there the 16th through the 18th. But the 18th, there are two shows that I'm shooting my special for. Please come out. God, I would love to have helpsters there.
Yes.
And then Delaney will be there. I know we've mentioned it before. Delaney will be there. And then I am at Oklahoma City at Bricktown Comedy Club, June 30th through July 2nd, and then Austin, July 15th and 16th. So those are kind of like the ones that are coming up soonest. Go to KellyCook.com, get some tickets. Would love to see you.
Great string of cities. So many good cities you're going to.
Yeah, it is going to be a good couple of months.
So much fun.
What's going on with you?
Yeah, you can find Efficionado, the minimalist business podcast, at DelaneyFisher.com. It's a private podcast, but it is free, so you can get over there on my website. I also have a lot of complimentary business simplicity resources for you if you're a service provider, contractor, business owner, all that good stuff. And we are about to record an episode that the community voted on. They submitted and voted this topic, and it's my favorite things. They would like to know my favorite things. So it's going to be a Delaney's favorite things episode. And we're just getting everybody's questions that they want me to answer. So it's just going to be a mix of stuff, everything from like my favorite products to books to public figures, business hacks, that kind of thing. So Nice. Yeah, would love to have you a part of it if you're an entrepreneur who wants to have an awesome minimalist business. Love to have you.
Amazing. Go check it out. Should we kick it off with a quotable?
Of course, Kelsey. Does a bear shit in the woods?
Oh, you are in rare form today, and it's the best. This is going to be very fun. Okay, so this quote, it says, "For the learning soul, life has infinite value, even the darkest hours." Oh, that's nice.
Can you read it again?
That quote is from Immanuel Kant, and it was submitted by submitted by Helpster Christoph. Thank you so much. And if you want to be able to submit quotes for the show, vote on episode topics, listen to bonus episodes, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/selfhelpless. So go check that out. We would love to have you on there. And that's a beautiful quote.
Yes, I want to read it one more time. For the learning soul, life has infinite value, even in the darkest hours.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, I'm taking that as even when you're going through really hard shit, there's always a lesson to be gained. Yes. Or maybe it's talking about Wordle, which I cannot stop playing. And I fucking love
it. Yes, I love this. Yeah, like in your shittiest times, you're still learning a lesson, even if it's a hard one, and it makes you appreciate, you know, coming out of that dark time. And gotta love a good Kant quote, you know? Did you study Kant? Did you study Kant in philosophy class, or was I the only philosophy nerd at my...
Oh, God. Really? You are such a fucking nerd.
I love philosophy. I would get there early and I would, lots of note taking. Anyway, yes. Perfectly to the toxic productivity.
We're a good balance on the show because I was not
a big fan of philosophy, but obviously, you know, I was going to be a math teacher, so like had the math major going. So we've got two different parts of our brains coming together for this show.
Girl, I tried to be a philosophy major, but the major at my school was so impacted that I had to pick something else. I mean, philosophy was pretty cool on my campus. It was
You also were in California. I'm sure that's like what a lot of stoners want to pick.
Yes.
It's just like, I don't know, man. You know, like you can just think and talk and not you really have class. To like come to a conclusion.
Yeah. You show up barefoot and you have very high conversations with a hot professor. I mean, that was what I wanted my life to be. I did, you know, religious studies, which is equally stonery. But anyway, so toxic productivity, everybody. So we're going to be talking about what this is, the signs that you might, you know, be suffering from it, how to combat it, our personal experiences. I mean, this aligns, you know, with so many topics we've talked about on the show before, everything from workaholism to burnout to, you know, all of that. And I just think you can't have enough reminders about, you know, prioritizing your needs and getting in touch with your values and really implementing a plan to make your life better.
Yeah. When we were deciding to talk about this, Gary Vee came to mind, who I know you've kind of got like some beef with. I don't know if I would call it beef, but like yeah, you just beef. Aren't like, you're not like that big of a fan of his ideals.
Well, I don't live by his methods. And so I don't say like, oh, you know, that's the wrong way to do stuff. Cause obviously like he's totally lit up all day. Like he fucking loves his life and he loves everything. But when people ask me like, what is my approach as an entrepreneur? I often say like kind of the opposite of Gary Vee. And then they understand what that means. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like doing less and having a lot of free time and all of that kind of stuff. But I honestly really, it's really about what genuinely makes you happy.
Yeah.
For me, the Gary Vee lifestyle of like, I think he wakes up at like 5 a.m. and goes to bed at 11 or something. And like every minute is scheduled, you know, down to the minute. That did not serve me. I did that kind of lifestyle for so long and I just felt exhausted. I felt unfulfilled. I felt sad. So you really have to find like the schedule and everything that works for you as well.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, it's I do feel like the things he tries to preach are similar to the whole Beyonce quote that we don't go for as much anymore of like, remember you have as many hours in the day as Beyonce.
Yeah.
I think the problem the underlying problem I run into with my toxic productivity is that in the field I work in, there's no definition of this is enough for the day.
Right.
Whereas like my friends who work in the medical field, or any sort of job where you're kind of like clocking in and clocking out and you're not taking your work home.
Yes.
I don't feel like toxic productivity is that big of an issue for them because there's just an accepted norm and definition of like, you've done your work for the day. Now you have permission to clock out. But in entertainment and in creative fields, there's always that pressure of like, well, you gotta work for whatever you like. You can settle. Sure, you can go to bed at this time and not be as successful, or you can stay up later and achieve more. It's like such
I hate it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's that's something I continue to really struggle with.
Yeah. And it's so hard. And it is really hard because, especially if you're excited about what you're doing, you want to do all these things. Like we talked about on the revenge bedtime episode, like Kelsey, you don't want to go to bed because you're having so much fun. You want to do more fun shit. Yeah. And so when you are your own boss in any kind of entrepreneurial space, it is up to you. And so if you're not regulating that properly, then you can easily work all the time. But I can say, like, oh my gosh, when I lived the whole like, go, 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 be everywhere all the time, do everything, say yes to everything, be visible all over the place. I was unhappy. I was unhealthy. I was not making much money. And now I'm like, this is the most visibility I have. Like, this is the most, you know, being on Self-Helpless is the visibility I have. So I'm not visible really many other places. My schedule went from working 60 to 80 hours a week to working like 10 hour weeks, making four times as much money as I used to make. Like, it's just not true. And I think that's what bothers me when somebody comes from a place of saying, this is the only way to be successful. This is the only way to grow your career, grow your business, get everything that you want is by being all over and like running yourself ragged. That's what I don't like. So, you know, that's where I'm cautious with even how I share my stuff, because it's like, look, this is not for everybody, but I'm sharing with you like what works for me, and you got to find what works for you.
Do you really only work 10 hours a week?
Yeah, or less.
How?
By crafting my schedule very carefully, dude. I mean, it's taken years. It has taken years. I mean, I have a whole episode, I think, on Efficionado about like my schedule and what's on it and all that stuff. But I have it. So the first 2 weeks of every month, I have my client calls. So the second 2 weeks of every month, I don't have clients. And if I do have meetings, it's like an internal meeting or a Self-Helpless recording. I used to have like 26 clients at a time. Now I only take 6 one-on-one clients at a time. And I also offer like other things in between, like intensives and stuff like that. But yeah, my goal this year was like, I wonder if I could reach that level of where I'm working like 6 to 10 hours a week. And I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've never been making more money than you are right now.
The less hours I work, the more money I make. And that's been since I made that very strategic, intentional plan and move to start my own business, you know, and then go from there. That led into the consulting business. I literally just got off of a phone call with some of my finance team. And they were like, they were asking like those same questions, like, how often are you working, all that stuff? And I said, yeah, about 10 hours a week. And then like, do you know that you have increased your net profit by almost 300% this year? And I'm like, no, that's good to know. Thank you so much. So like, that is literal proof that you do not have to work all day and all night to have the life that you want, the free time, the money, the like all of that. It was so backwards for so long for me, you know?
Yeah.
But
my God.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. I'm very excited.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'll share more about it too in depth. Like if people have questions about that, you know.
Yeah.
How I did that. But
damn, that is incredible. We are all very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like I can say that on behalf of our listeners, because you know, a lot of you have been with us listening from the beginning, and gosh, we just started in like a little like conference room of Delaney's work.
Yes.
And just trying to figure stuff out. And it's very cool to see where you're at now.
Well, same right back at you, babe. I feel like, I mean, if you listen to the earlier episodes when we're talking about workaholism or burnout or anxiety, we're talking about it like from that place of being in workaholic mode and all that stuff. And it's really weird to do a topic to where I'm talking about it like it's the past, you know, like, oh, this is me in the past. It's not me right now trying to figure out how the fuck to get out of it. So that's I'm having a very weird moment right now. It's kind of cool.
God, 30s are so much better than your 20s. Everybody says that. And when I was in my 20s, I was like, no way. Like I was having, you know, I thought I was having so much fun in my 20s. And I was at times, but I was like, also, there was just so much more uncertainty. I had so much more anxiety, like less financial stability, job security, all that. It just, man, what like a nice time right now.
Oh my God.
Had our birthdays. I just turned 33, just turned 32. And it's a good time right now.
Yeah. What would you say when, let's say that if you think about your most toxic productivity period of time in your life, what is the biggest difference in you, like approaching similar situations? Like, can you think of like your quote unquote rock bottom of product or toxic productivity?
It's almost like burned into my body what that felt like in my body, that it was tired on another level.
Yeah.
Like I was loading my schedule up so heavily and thinking that I could do way more in a day, way more in a week than I could. And I know I've mentioned it before, but I think the thing that really changed my life and how I go about my day-to-day schedule is A, having a physical planner, but B, within that physical planner, looking at the things I had planned for the day as amounts of energy used as opposed to time it would take. And I really do encourage any of you listeners who are struggling with this, if you get to the end of the day and you are completely exhausted, again, I think that's kind of, I don't want to speak for Gary Vee, but it seems like that is more, and hey, I actually like all of what Gary Vee says, but I'm just saying that I think he leans more toward that idea of like, if you aren't completely exhausted by the end of the day, then like you didn't do enough or you didn't maximize your time enough. And right. I read a different quote from somebody else that was like, you shouldn't be completely run down by the end of the day. Like you shouldn't be putting your body through so much that by the end of the day, you like can't even keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
And I have actually, it's kind of what you're talking about with the 10-hour work week. I feel like I get more done each day now because I have more energy, because I'm able to spread it out. And I've stopped thinking that I am like made of steel and am immune to what all the things in my schedule were doing to my body. It's like, well, yeah, you're going to feel run down and get sick. So now I schedule way fewer things and I just take on fewer things. So that was probably like the biggest change for me.
Yeah, totally. I definitely resonate with that. I think my mindset literally used to be like, as soon as I woke up, it was like, this like mentality of how much could I get done and checked off my to-do list between now and when I go to bed, like nonstop, like not even thinking, hey, is this task like is this helping me reach any of the goals I have? Do I like doing this thing? I was not mindful. I was not present. It was just, I was a machine trying to tackle as much as possible. And now when I wake up, it's like, okay, what am I not doing today? What am I doing today? And what am I like not doing anymore or maybe ever? Like, it's just like, I'm so selective and keeping my calendar as clear as possible. And only filling it with the things that make sense for my business goals, my personal goals, the things that, you know, bring me a lot of joy. I mean, it's been huge, but to get to that point, I had to get really honest with what was my goal. Like, I didn't know what my goal was. So it's like, what are my values? Where do I want to go? What do I want my life to look like? I had never asked myself that before until I was like 26.
Yeah.
So I hit 26 and I'm like, I don't even know what I want. I don't even know if I'm enjoying any of this. I'm just doing things just to do them. I literally remember like looking around my bedroom at that time being like, I don't even like any of the art on these walls. Like I just painted them because I was in an art class and that's what we had to paint. Or I did this thing with an instructor and they told me to paint this. So I did. I'm like, I don't even like this art. Like, who am I? You know, like what do I want? What do I like? I didn't really know. And the more that I took off of my plate, the more I really figured it out. And, it just takes a lot of being very, very honest with what you actually want versus what you think you should want or what other people want for you. And I can also say like with the age of social media and like access to people, like the messaging out there that like people have to have access to you at all times, they got to see all the parts of your life and all that stuff. I can say by somebody who's taken pretty much all the access away, the less access people have had to me is like, I've seen that they value my time more because they know I don't show up many places. So if I am showing up to a place, it's like, I know they know that about me. And so I think there's a special connection there when they realize, oh, I couldn't have gotten this information from, you know, DMing you on Instagram. I had to do this intentional step-by-step process to get here. And so did you. And so I've loved seeing that as well, because that was, you know, my hope too.
Yeah. You know? I think it's even impacted our friendship. Not that it like wasn't like this before, but because I can't see what's going on in your day-to-day life and you can't see what's going on in mine. When we catch up, we like really are catching up because we don't even have an idea of, you know, except from our previous conversations, maybe like we would know something that's coming up to ask about. But yeah, it's different. So just to give like some definition, some technical definition from Psychology Today. So toxic productivity is the need to constantly do. It's often ineffectual and unproductive. That's the irony of it, is like, it's kind of like what you were saying, that you think you're being productive,
right?
But sometimes you're not. You're actually just running yourself into the ground for no reason.
Exactly. I remember that, like the thought that used to go through my head, like, I cannot go have fun until I complete XYZ thing, you know? And it's like, I would not allow myself to just enjoy my time. But it's like, sometimes the most productive thing you can do is literally do nothing and rest and enjoy yourself. And that makes your decision-making better, everything better.
But, yes. Man. I think there's a big mind shift too when you start to think of your time as money and really going, okay, if I say yes to doing this certain thing that I'm not really that psyched on, am I willing to lose X amount of money essentially that I could be putting towards something else?
Definitely. Yeah. Cam and I have talked a lot about that, of because of I've outsourced so many things and he's always so worried, like, that's a lot of money that we're spending. I'm like, but freeing up my time allows me to make more money. And so making this money will more than cover these things, you know? Totally. So it's like, yeah, it takes a lot of planning, you know?
Yeah. And then here are some signs that you might be suffering from toxic productivity. This is from The Healthy. So downtime makes you anxious, which, that's something I've gotten better on over the years for sure, but like it's still a bit of a thing for me. Yeah. So downtime makes you anxious. Watching others have fun annoys you. You can't remember the last time you felt joy. That's a dark one. Socializing makes you antsy. So toxic productivity can make you feel like you're wasting your time when socializing because you're not accomplishing anything.
Oh God.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah. Man, these are such good ones. They're so specific.
Yes.
Having little to no time for self-care. Yeah. Success feels meaningless. So when you finally accomplish your goal, it feels hollow, empty, or not good enough, or you may feel too burned out to appreciate it.
God damn. This is me. This is me 5 years ago, like 100%. And I feel like I'm a little embarrassed to say that that's how I felt a lot of the time, you know?
Really?
I remember like, it wasn't the fact that other people having fun annoyed me. I think I was just so confused as to How do you have time to have a baking party for fun? You know what I mean? Like, how do you have time to do that and plan that and go get the baked goods and have people come over? Like, I think I was just confused as to not only having the time, but the desire to do that, because I was just very much like, even though I was doing it to myself, I didn't feel like I was doing it to myself. I felt like life was doing it to me. So I felt like I didn't have the time. And also I was kind of envious of the desire to do like conventional, joyful, simple things. And now literally my whole life is very conventional and simple. But I remember feeling like, must be nice to have the time to have a fucking craft day.
And in reality, it's like no one is making you do this but you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, hey, I admit it. I admit that that was my thought process. Kelsey, do you resonate with these?
The two that don't resonate with me are watching others have fun annoys you and you can't remember the last time you felt joy. I feel pretty lucky that I do, especially now, I carve out so much time in my life for having fun, and I am generally like a very joyous person. I think I feel like I feel joy a lot, but the whole, and obviously my self-care has really ramped up as well in the last few years. So that's great. But having some struggles with downtime is definitely, like I mentioned, something that I continue to have to work on, but I'm getting better at it. I know I keep joking about Wordle, but things like that, it's almost like a little trick, because in a way I'm being productive because I feel like it's helping keep my mind sharp. Yeah. But it's something I really enjoy doing, and it is for fun. Like, it is a silly thing. So I do. I was just visiting my brother, sister-in-law, and my niece over the weekend, and we all together played Wordle, Quirtle, Nerdle, Hurdle, and Global. And it was so much fun. Like, I really love it. Nerdle is, if you like math, it's trying to solve a daily equation. Global is trying to guess a country in the world. And Hurdle is trying to guess a song. And I guess there's one, I think there's one called Framed for movies too, where it just shows you movie, like photos of movie frames.
Nice.
Anyway, if you're somebody that likes puzzles, I just can't recommend it enough. Obviously, doing all of those is a lot. I don't think I could probably keep up with all of those every day, but it is pretty fun, and it does encourage me to have downtime.
Yes. I resonate with the anxiousness with downtime. I think for me, even when I have downtime, I just enjoy doing things. I enjoy completing tasks and having projects. And even if it's like, I am going to go sit in the bath and put a bunch of essential oil and all that stuff, it's me doing something. Yeah. And like, when I get out of the bath, it's like, wow, I completed something. It's just, I enjoy it. So even my downtime doesn't look like just sitting and hanging out. Usually I am somebody who just, I get kind of sad when I've been sedentary for too long. Like after watching like 3-4 hours of TV, like I don't really feel good.
No, same. It has to be. And that's what you have to learn about yourself, is like, what does self-care and downtime look like for you? Because it is different for everybody.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know with like, we've talked a little bit about the ADHD stuff. I'm, you know, still looking into that stuff. But I know that with that, like the ADHD brain, you don't create enough dopamine, or you don't create dopamine, something like that. So you have to give yourself your own dopamine hits. And you do that by completing things and having projects and all that stuff. So I don't know if that's part of it, but I resonate with that a lot. Yeah. So here's some tips for combating it from Reichsite. Defining your work boundaries, you know, adequate time for sleep, spending time with family, engaging in hobbies. These can all reduce the emphasis on constant productivity. Setting realistic goals, you know, set goals that are achievable and attainable and flexible, that can help you differentiate between work that must be done immediately from work that can be completed at a later time. Create buffers in your schedule. Instead of scheduling back-to-back meetings, create buffers that allow you to take small breaks throughout the day. Seek mental health help. You know, if other steps are not working, seek help from a mental health professional to ensure you don't find yourself burned out, you know, consistently and in the future. Any Any tips, personal tips, Kelsey, that you feel like are your favorite go-tos for helping?
This list really covered a lot of what I would have thought to say, honestly. I think creating buffers in your schedule is huge. That kind of goes back to the energy thing I was talking about. Like, you have to be realistic on not only how much each task you're doing in your day takes up in terms of your energy, but like really thinking about how you feel at the end of doing certain things. I know for me, at the end of us doing our podcast recordings, I feel a little depleted for a sec because we just talked for an hour. You're performing, your mind is so on. And so I try to leave a little bit of a buffer so that I can like have a snack or just sit and zone out for a sec. But just being mindful of creating those buffers. And then, setting realistic goals. It's something I'm actually struggling with a little bit right now with TikTok because I haven't posted in a little while on there. And I'm just at a place where I don't really know what to post. As a comic, you can't just keep posting your material because then by the time somebody comes to a live show, they will have already seen it. And I know that if I didn't have a podcast, if I wasn't doing stand-up full-time, if I didn't have these other things, then maybe I could be like a full-time content creator. Yeah. But that's not realistic for me. It's not realistic for me to put a video out every single day. And I've been like shaming myself every day that I don't get that done. Like, no matter how much I accomplish in a day, I go to bed and I'm like, you didn't post on TikTok. Like, it's just hanging over me. And I think I really need to get more realistic with myself and be like, hey, figure out a different sort of posting schedule that is something you can actually stick to. Right. And then don't feel bad about it. Like, there's no like you should have or you did. It's just like, do what you can.
Yeah, this is so interesting because this actually comes up a lot in my business with my clients of them feeling bad for like not posting on certain things. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is helpful, Kelsey, I don't know, but you have like all these things and a lot of these things that a lot of people who are posting on TikTok want to get from posting on TikTok, right? Like, people are coming to see you live, you're getting awesome opportunities, you're getting visible. So it's like, you're so busy doing that, that you didn't post on TikTok, where somebody is actively growing a following in hopes of like getting a lot of that stuff too. It's like, some people are like, oh my God, I did this and this, but I didn't post on Instagram or something like, but you have clients. That's why people are posting on Instagram to get the clients that you already have in your business. So it's like really knowing like what the goals are. That would be my feedback too, is like getting so clear on what your personal goals are and doing the things that make those happen. And I love that quote that you can do anything, but you can't do everything. So it's like, it's like, okay, what do you actually want above everything else? And what needs to go for now or be removed completely? That would be my biggest one, is getting very honest about what you want and then doing those things and saying no to everything else to keep it simple. I also remember never celebrating anything. I think they talked about this in here. Never celebrating milestones, just being like, okay, on to the next. And now I just try to celebrate, you know, literally everything in my business, personal life, all of that. I remember like being in my 20s, out on a date with somebody. It wasn't Cam at the time, but I was out on a date and I forgot that I was on TV that night or something. And it got brought up in the conversation. They're like, oh my God, we should go and celebrate. Let's go grab another drink. And I'm like, oh no, it's really not a big deal. Like, it's fine. Like, don't worry about it. And thinking like, shit, I should have been celebrating all of those moments, because, you know, those moments are not really those specific moments aren't happening anymore in this leg of my career. And so I don't know, just celebrating the moments that you are in, I think is super important for this as well.
Yeah. Could not agree more. Indeed. So we have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Prairie Wind. It says, Instagram episode. Thank you for sharing the Instagram fakeness stories. I've listened to every episode. I'm such a big fan. This last episode was truly one of my favorites. I think most of us can relate to resorting to forced and false Insta feels in order to delay or avoid the processing of uncomfortable emotions in actual life. Oh, very well said.
Yeah.
I'm glad you chose this real ass topic. Self-helpless is a space where we can all learn and grow together. #hearts #clean them buttholes. Like, shout out to Tushy, who has previously sponsored us with their great bidets. Yeah.
Oh my God, so funny. Thanks, Prairie Wind. I was like, is Clean Them Buttholes from that? Or was there a certain episode we talked about
that? That must have, maybe we were talking about that on that episode. Maybe that was a Tushy sponsored episode. But yeah, thank you so much. We're really happy that you liked that specific episode. That was definitely one of my favorites to do too. It felt kind of like a confessional. Look, this is what was really going on when we posted this like thing on Instagram or whatever. So if you haven't listened to that one, that was from maybe about a year and a half ago. We did one called Instagram versus Reality.
Oh yeah. We should do more like that. What other confessional topics can we do?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be great.
Yes, definitely.
Do you have any segments still?
I do have an update from a prior segment that I had about, nipple tape. Remember when I said I was like, really, like, I'm not a bra person. I really rarely wear bras. And so I got a roll of tape to put instead. And I feel like, you know, it's been going pretty well. So if anybody else is not a bra person and they just don't want like their nipples showing through everything, that's an option for you.
And it's actual nipple tape. It's not just like scotch.
It's not like, yeah, it's not like packing tape. I actually got real nipple tape. I'm wearing it right now. So YouTube, you can be the judge.
Wow.
It covers the nips.
That's very impressive. You can't see anything.
Yeah. To be honest, when I get cold, it's not like the most, I could probably double tape them if I'm going in a cold environment, but I think this is good. It prevents looks and stuff when I'm walking around the neighborhood, you know. That's really all I'm looking for. Because the rest of my life, people are just seeing this part of me, you know?
And right,
a lot of virtual meetings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, hey.
Great.
There it is. What about you,
Happy Kels? It's been a successful journey.
Yes, I told you I'd update you guys.
Yes. So I have a good shit, and this is actually very in alignment with what we've been talking about today. I went, like I said earlier, I visited my niece over the weekend, and God, she just makes me so happy. It just was so special. She's about to be 8 months old, and she's just at an age where she's like starting to do some of her firsts. Like, she's about to start crawling for the first time. Aww. We were teaching her how to make raspberry sounds with her mouth, and it's just very fun to like watch them start to mimic, and she's just my whole heart. I just love her so much. So I got to really enjoy like just being with my family and relaxing and not doing anything work related. So that was very cool.
Oh, that's so nice. Very nice. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So remember guys to go please buy tickets, especially to see my special taping in Denver, June 18th, but all of the other tour dates coming up, you can go to kelseycook.com and get those tickets.
Yes. And feel free to check out DelaneyFisher.com for eFishionado, the podcast, the minimalist business podcast. We actually have a lot of episodes related to toxic productivity, time management hacks, prioritizing your goals, all that. So if you want to dive deeper into this topic, you can find some of that over there.
Awesome. All right. We hope you guys are having an awesome day. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you.